Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hi, we're going to talk to Buzz here in just a second, but did you know that the average American has 97 points they can add to their credit score and have no blessed idea how to get them? ScoreMaster is the new credit science that super boosts your credit score. Forget raising your credit score a few points. That's weak. The average ScoreMaster user raises their credit score 61 points in 20 days or less. 61 points, that is unheard of. Say your credit score was in the high 500s to mid 600s when you bought that new car. If you'd gone to ScoreMaster first and raised your credit score just the average 61 points our listeners get, you could have saved $9,000 on your car loan. And if you'd gone to ScoreMaster before applying for a home loan and raised your score just the average 61 points our listeners get, you could have saved almost $100,000 over the life of your loan. ScoreMaster puts you in control of your finances, not the banks. Enroll in minutes and see how many plus points ScoreMaster can add to your credit score. Visit ScoreMaster.com/offer. ScoreMaster.com/offer. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Sorry, but I think we all needed a break. Isn't that satisfying? Just not to hear his voice for a single goddamn second. Let's wallow in it. Let's bask in the Trumplessness. Now, Chris, could I speak directly to the American people?
Is it gonna be weird?
Totally. Totally weird. America, look at me. Look directly into my eyeballs. You can trust me because I believe in science. And karma. Now just imagine if science and karma could somehow team up to send us all a message about how dangerous this virus can be. I'm not saying I want it to happen. Just imagine if it did. So this November, please get on the Biden train, which is literally a commuter train to Delaware. And we can all make America not actively on fire again. Okay. Now I'll unpause him.
Antifa!
Nope, can't do it.
Bob Zeska!
We could not talk or talk forever and still find things to not talk about.
The Bob Zeska Show.
That right there is what Saturday Night Live was meant for. Subversive political humor. I love it so much. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, Rocktober 6, 2020. And this is the Bob Zeska Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 1,356 of the Trump crisis. 28 days into the 2020 presidential election. 4 weeks from right now. Holy shit. Let's bring him in. It's my good friend Buzz Burbank sitting right over there. Hi, Buzz.
Wait.
Hi. Hi.
Hang on just a second. I have to finish signing these blank papers.
Jesus Christ. What a bunch of propaganda. Oh, my God. It was Kim Jong-un-ish.
Oh, man. It's great to be here. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
As you know, he's Bob. I'm Buzz. And we're both hopped up on steroids.
Better watch out, Mean Gene.
It's only Tuesday already. What a week it's been, right?
Yeah.
Trump got the Rona.
Uh-huh.
And when Trump heard his doctors say he's not out of the woods, he told him to start raking the forest.
God, I hate that.
Yeah, so much going on. Kamala Harris debates Mike Pence tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, doctors will be standing by to reattach Pence's private parts.
Wait, he has private parts? I didn't know that.
We'll find out, won't we? Hey, listen, I love this. I love the way gay men took over the name Proud Boys over the weekend. Yeah. Wasn't that great? Yeah. I give it up for the Proud Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Or the new ones, anyway. Now, you'd think that the original group would be upset about this co-opting, but they say they're actually okay with that since Proud Boys was really their second choice right after Men with Small Penises.
So many options.
Go back to that.
I know.
Gay men now will also, of course, take over the marketing of the Proud Boys merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
So they can turn all those caps and T-shirts into Pride Parade jockstraps. Look forward to seeing that.
Me too.
People are already thinking about the holidays. You're starting to see ads crop up and just mm-hmm. little indications of the catalogs are starting to arrive in the mail.
Yeah.
So Christmas is starting to creep into this mess that we're living in.
Jesus.
And as you know, as a lot of people know, for years now, I have been re-releasing my reading of the classic story, The Night Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Gonna go a slightly different direction this year. This year, I'll be reading Christmas quotes from Melania.
The Bob Seska Show.
It's Rocky Mountain Mike.
I've just seen his face unmasked. Don't know the time or place he got COVID. He's just horrible. See, and he don't care if people that he's met die. He was only there for days and in a hopped up steroid haze. He took that hop around the block and I'm sure shocked that he might make them all die. Appalling, it's sure appalling. Make him go crawling back home again.
Great Rocky Mountain Mike. Holy shit, yep. Classic, yeah. Link in the description, by the way, to follow Rocky Mountain Mike on YouTube, because he's got music videos, too, and you have to see those. They're so great. Okay, where the hell do we start? Well, you know what? Here's where we're going to start, Buzz. Okay. Tomorrow is a significant day. Not only do we have the vice presidential debate between Kamala Harris and Mike Pence, which there are all kinds of things to discuss about that in terms of social distancing and all the rest of trying to keep Kamala Harris and Joe Biden as far away from these vectors as is humanly possible.
With sneeze guards.
Exactly. But the other thing that's pretty significant about tomorrow is tomorrow's your birthday. Hey.
What? What?
Yeah.
You know, Bob, I've been so busy. You know, here's how sad it is, and here's how dedicated I want you people to know that I am.
Yeah.
I am foregoing. I had a little celebration with my Corona bubble friends on Sunday. And, you know, there'll be like a quick dinner and then back to work Tuesday night because this is an overwhelming news week. And right now, honestly, this is far more on my mind than having a birthday celebration. That'll have to come in perhaps another administration.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I remember back in July when my birthday was, people come in, hey, happy birthday. I said, shut up, something going on, fire hose, fire hose.
I'm busy, leave me alone.
Go away with your cake and your presents.
Humbug on your happy birthday.
Yes, I've got outrage to express on Twitter. Get away from me with your frivolity and fun.
A birthday candle through the heart.
Yes. So happy birthday, a day in advance to you, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wonderful. You are officially 42. Is that now 42?
That's 142.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. You're now old enough to drink a beer. Congratulations. Hey, that's so great. Well, here's the biggest news that we've been talking about for the last few days now, and that is that Donald Trump has COVID, and I feel a lot better about it today than I did yesterday. And
really? How's that?
Because I was so concerned over the past 4 or 5 days that there was going to be a sympathy vote based on history, based on precedent, when there's there's a health problem with the president.
Precedent.
You, I know, stupid
you,
me.
You naive child.
But I mean, you know, like for example, when I heard Rachel Maddow, I guess it was Thursday night, Friday night, whenever the hell it was, all the days have bled together for me.
I know.
Talking about how we should treat Donald Trump like an uncle with lung cancer. I'm going, oh my. I love Rachel Maddow. Don't get me wrong. Rachel Maddow has been a hero in the last 4 years, especially if not from the time she first cracked the mic on MSNBC. But that was just one of those things where I was going, we're talking about Donald Trump here. It's as if your uncle got lung cancer, but then gave everyone around him lung cancer too. That's the difference between your uncle with lung cancer and Donald Trump with COVID. He has been acting irresponsibly, not just with himself in the metaphor with the uncle smoking cigarettes. Right. Donald Trump has been irresponsible with the entire country, certainly with all the people around him at the White House, not only his West Wing staff, not only the military personnel around him who work in the West Wing, but also the White House residence staff as well.
Interesting you should mention the military personnel. Breaking news right now as we record.
Yeah.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and several top Pentagon leaders are quarantining after being exposed to the virus.
Oh my God! See,
this is a terrifying message to the rest of the world. Look, I used to do everything I could to stay out of the screaming lunatic club. But
welcome.
That ship. Thank you, thank you. It's good to be among friends, and that ship has indeed sailed. Yeah. This is a national security crisis. Mm. Do not think for 1 second that Russia and China are not all over this in some form or fashion. We have a president who has made no arrangements. I mean, and don't give me that stuff about there are mechanisms in place for succession of power. There were mechanisms in place for a lot of things Trump did, but he did them anyway.
Yeah,
including the coronavirus plan, the plan for a pandemic left by the Obama administration. So having those norms and having those mechanisms in place may or may not mean anything. And now you've got the commander in chief and top is ill, and the top military commanders are in quarantine.
Yeah.
If this is not an opportunity for a hostile state, I don't know what is. And as I said, there's no plan in place for handing over power.
And you know what? That's a great fucking point about the national security crisis this is too, because quite honestly, for me, it didn't begin when Donald Trump tested positive for COVID. It began the moment Donald Trump was inaugurated. I thought for sure at some point our enemies were going to test us. And certainly Russia's been doing that. And now several others have joined in terms of attacking our election infrastructure. But in terms of actually taking advantage of the United States as a whole when it comes to either some sort of military aggression, terrorist attacks, or what have you, I thought that was going to be a possibility from the very beginning. But certainly now, because who the fuck is running the ship at this point? I mean, and how are they doing it? We don't know. And I think part of the problem, part of the thing that's most unsettling about this is that we have no idea what's happening behind the scenes. I mean, we have no sense. Certainly the White House press corps is doing what they can, but there's only so much legwork they can actually do to get the truth out of these people.
That, you know, they can't see the readings that the doctor won't show that the American people have the right to see.
Yeah.
This business about patient privacy, you'll notice, is selective. They'll include blood pressure and heart rate and temperature, but they won't tell you anything about his lung scans, which would tell us whether he has pneumonia, which his treatment indicates he probably does.
Yeah.
And based on his history with oxygen over the last several days. The president is very physically ill, and now, under the influence of the steroid, he's more mentally unusual than usual.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we don't know what is Trump's normal level of mania versus Donald Trump's dexamethasone level of mania at this point. Because first of all, we don't know who's tweeting for him. We don't even know if he himself is doing all of this tweeting, because the people around him have become pretty good at duplicating, whether it's Dan Scavino or Don Jr. I mean, these are all people we've heard about in the past who have been kind of ghost tweeting for Donald Trump. So we don't know if it's actually him, for that matter, but we do know that based on his overall behavior, certainly this steroid is a major, major factor in numerous ways. I think it was the steroid that drove him to leave the hospital prematurely to order that suck up doctor of his, Dr. Conley, to allow that to happen. And then he was talking about how he feels like he was 20 years younger, and that's an obvious consequence of that steroid, which I believe at this point he is going to start using that steroid like it's his new Adderall. Like, he's already pledged today, and I'm getting way... There's so many things we're going to be all over the place.
Where do you start?
Yeah, exactly. He said today that he's going to participate in the debate next week, for God's sake. Yeah,
don't listen to that.
And if he does, it'll be all hepped up on dexamethasone, that's for sure.
He says that because he's hepped up on dexamethasone. He has no idea. Doctors predict that he will crash from the coronavirus around Thursday of this week. Around Thursday, Friday, I mean, give or take a couple of days.
Yeah.
But he's due for a crash.
Yeah.
If he follows the pattern we've seen in other coronavirus patients, this is not over yet, and he is currently more deluded than usual because of that steroid, and that's why he's making all these crazy claims.
Yeah, and you know what? We still don't know for sure when the hell it was that he was first diagnosed. We don't have a clear sense when his last negative test was, again, because those doctors, and once again, we're in a place now where we have to guess at the president of the United States and his health, because his doctors are clearly joining in Donald Trump's deception about his health, that much was obvious. And again, it's not just the lying. It's the obviousness of the lying that is so goddamn annoying every time it happens.
I just want to interject. It's the dangerousness of those lies.
Mm-hmm.
The top story.
It's hard to tell what's real and what's not, but we know when we hear it. We know when Dr. Conley was lying, and it was so obvious throughout all of the press. I think there were three different press availabilities with the doctors. By the way, watching Dr. Conley get snarky with the press during a time like this, not helpful. The other thing that wasn't helpful was after the final press conference at Walter Reed, I think it was yesterday, Dr. Conley had his mask off. They all took their masks off before they spoke, by the way.
Dr. Conman knows that he was hired to be subservient to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And he is, in fact, because he is a military officer and because Trump is commander-in-chief, doctor's orders in this instance means what the president has ordered the doctor to say and do.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing. So it's interesting that because the White House knew it had no more credibility with the public about COVID-19, it pushed this guy out there to fix that.
Yeah.
And now his credibility is destroyed by misleading the press, by refusing to share information about the lung scans that would tell the American people whether or not their president has pneumonia. And by the way, on that subject, I've had pneumonia. Mm. I was in a coma for 11 days with pneumonia.
Jesus.
I was intubated. Mm. I nearly died. Pneumonia is a serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in a COVID patient, it can be fatal.
Yeah.
The American people have a right to know this information, and we need to know that, especially with this latest bulletin about the Pentagon, we need to know if anybody's in charge, and if so, who.
And we also need to know if the president deliberately endangered the lives of the people around him, not just the Secret Service agents who are kind of put there in order to have their lives endangered to a certain extent, but that certainly doesn't forgive that ridiculous drive-by the other day. But the point is that without knowing when the last negative test was,
right,
and what's clear is there is a cover-up going on with regard to that. What has been the commonality between every single time Donald Trump has refused to show us something, whether it's his health records or his tax returns, there's something that he's trying to hide, and he's being so goddamn obvious about it. And that was certainly the case with the last negative test. I mean, who knows? Maybe the last negative test was the day of the debate, or maybe the day before the debate, because that super spreader event at the Rose Garden, or what I've been calling the former Rose Garden, the Melania Trump Industrial Foliage Cemetery, or whatever the hell it's we can call it at this point, which is no longer. Yeah, it's just a cement bunker now, what used to be the Rose Garden.
But well, it reminds her of home.
I am utterly fascinated by the video of that event, especially after the ceremony ended and you see all that B-roll of all of these Trump inner circle hoity-toities just like close talking and backslapping.
Hugging,
in a giant haze of coronavirus.
I can't go home to see my 94-year-old father, or however old he is now. He's in his early 90s at this point. Mm-hmm. I can't go home to see him or hug him, but these folks are hugging each other, and I speak for millions of Americans who share that same frustration. Mm-hmm. By the way, they think the real super spreader event were the indoor receptions that followed, the maskless indoor receptions that followed, partly because they were indoors and because there was more hugging and close talking there than even you saw on that former Rose Garden video.
Yeah, and talk about disclosure problems. It turns out that Amy Coney Barrett had COVID over the summer.
Doubtful she's still infectious. I don't think she's been infectious since her illness. But it was that event, certainly, that caused it. And now they think even more so the indoor receptions that followed that event.
Has she been quarantined at all? I know there was one negative test since Donald Trump was first diagnosed.
But I don't know. See, we're hearing less now. We're hearing we're not hearing about the others who are testing positive, especially those who are lesser known. I'm hearing rumblings about Stephen Miller, but I don't know if that's wishful thinking or if it's actually a fact.
Well, another person in the White House who's already had it. Stephen Miller has had it once before. He got it. He got it from his wife, who is Mike Pence's press secretary, I think.
That's right. Yes.
And Ronna McDaniel has it again. She's had it before. So much for that herd immunity everyone's been talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, once you get it, yes, you can get it again. Ronna McDaniel has it again. These people, the problem here is the hubris. I mean, one of many problems, I should say. It's the hubristic behavior, the feeling as if, well, if I'm defiant enough, then I just won't get it. I'll intimidate this virus like we intimidated Al-Qaeda after 9/11. We're coming to get you.
Unless the axiom is wrong, the bigger they come, the harder they fall.
That's true, and
we are seeing, you're right, we're seeing incredible hubris now, and that is risky in its own way, in that in a matter of days, he could be back in a hospital bed and very, very ill.
Apparently, there are now more recorded cases of COVID-19 in the White House than in New Zealand, Taiwan, Vietnam combined. And they have 124 million people between all those countries. Let that sink in for a second. Absorb that into your skull. The fact that the White House, the people who are supposed to be protecting us from this virus, protecting us from all kinds of threats, can't even protect themselves. In fact, they're horrible at protecting themselves. The whole place is a goddamn vector, and it's not the first time. I mean, since this began, we have been reading stories over and over again about people inside the White House. In fact, not just one or two, but numerous people, dozens of people inside the White House over this 6 or 7 month span of time, testing positive, and a lot of Secret Service agents, and that is about to get a lot worse too.
Again, my top concern here is national security. I tweeted earlier today, and it's actually a paragraph from my script for this week's newscast.
Yes.
The man who can plunge this nation and the world into nuclear war is under the influence of a drug that causes mood swings, irritability, depression, delirium, mania, feelings of grandiosity, and psychosis.
So basically, the steroid makes people feel like Donald Trump normally feels.
And now the guys at the Pentagon are in quarantine.
So what Donald Trump is basically doing is he's magnifying everything that's horrible about himself while on dexamethasone.
And if you're Putin, what are you thinking? If you're Xi Jinping, what are you thinking?
God.
This is an opportunity.
Yeah, I would say there's no one at home. There's no one at home. Let's walk right in. God damn. It's kind of a miracle that nothing has happened so far. You look out your door, you hear the crickets chirping and the breeze blowing, and it doesn't feel like we're in that much danger. It feels like it normally does, but we are in immense amount of danger. Yes, things are looking better in terms of the election, and I'm so relieved about that, but things are not looking better for national security. I'm so glad you brought this up.
Well, yeah, it's like I said, it's the number one thing on my mind at this point. This is where I joined the Raving Lunatic Club. This is where this was the thing that pushed me over the edge and said, you know, pull all the fire alarms because this is. You remember how we talked so much about how things could get worse?
Yeah.
Well, here we are.
Yeah.
We are in a situation where things are worse and can get even more so.
Yeah.
This is a frightening moment, and I hope somebody's taking steps. Somebody responsible, somebody who loves this country, is taking steps to keep us stable at this very vulnerable time.
What did you make of that scene last night? I am still confounded by the return trip, the journey from Walter Reed back to the White House.
It was a show.
It was a hell of a show, and it was a hell of a show about what not to do if you are an active COVID patient. I mean, even just out the door, and he made sure to come out the big golden doors because he's a goddamn brittle little tiny man who needs all those accoutrements to make himself look more important. But the fact of the matter is, he exited the Walter Reed Medical Center, and the first thing he did was touch the goddamn stair railing the whole way down with his COVID-infected hands.
He caught himself. It's fun to watch because what happens is he touches the rail, and then he catches himself because he doesn't want to appear weak.
Yeah.
So he turns it into a tap, like he's tapping out a beat.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll see, and watch him, and then he'll get, like, between two railings and sort of, I think he taps himself and taps in midair and then goes back to tapping the railing on his way down. It was a way of using the railing without looking like or trying not to look like he was using the railing.
Yeah.
And by the way, about dexamethasone, I sum it up this way. Based on what I've read, what I've learned from doctors, is that it was the dexamethasone that allowed Trump to run up the steps or climb the steps at the White House. It was the COVID-19 that left him panting at the top.
Oh, yeah. You can imagine having COVID pneumonia, climbing those stairs with a mask on. And then and he was wearing an N95 mask that time. He wasn't wearing his black fabric mask. He was wearing the N95. And he made it to the top of the steps. And as soon as he got into place, that mask came right off. Boom.
Right.
And he's panting. He's struggling for breath. And what I noticed about that specifically is that he was gasping for breath like a guy who was trying to hide the fact that he was gasping for breath.
Bingo. That's it. Exactly. But we've skipped over the whole show.
Yeah.
Here's another line I've crossed today. I really am upset with the news media, and I'm talking specifically about television news, specifically even more so about the three major networks. All three networks turned over their broadcast last night for Trump's show that was carefully scheduled for that time.
Jesus.
And there was no news last night except the Trump show from 6:30 to 7 East Coast time, and this was the president. This was the video of the president. We waited. You know, he came out. They took him in the black cars over. We waited, and then he got in the helicopter. We waited some more, and then we had these Hollywood overhead shots of the helicopter making its way back to the White House, and then we watch it slowly and carefully land, and then we wait some more, and then and this is all news time. This is the evening news. This is where you become informed about what's going on in the world, and so we wait some more, and then he comes out of the helicopter, and he goes up the stairs. There was a door right there on ground floor he could have walked into, but no, he needed a show. This was a show that he was putting on that he'd produced. And so it was going up the two flights of stairs into the second floor of the White House and before turning around and doing a scene from Evita, and then going in and infecting everybody. That's what happened.
Yeah.
That was the show last night.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I couldn't believe I'm watching an active COVID patient, Donald Trump, who is just exuding coronavirus just out of every orifice, and he takes that mask off, whips it off, touches it and wads it up with his grubby fingers, and then turns around and walks into that, whatever it is, the Oval Room that's on the south end of the White House, and there are all kinds of people in there, presumably wearing masks. But
the last, they are the last of the people still working in the White House.
Yeah.
The West Wing is described as a ghost town.
Oh my
there's
God.
There's nobody there.
Yeah.
This is when you say there's nobody home, literally there's nobody home. And the few staffers who were there to greet him, whatever their number may have been, were there terrified.
Yeah.
And here's, they turn around and there's this maskless, gasping man who has returned to further infect them.
Yeah.
This is a nightmare. This is a horror movie.
Yeah, and remember, you can still get it through your eyeballs. I don't know if that's been debunked yet. I mean, I think
that's true.
Yeah. So despite wearing a mask, the photographers and media people working in the White House, I guess all from the communications bullpen, were all down there so they could get the shot. They should immediately go into quarantine. I mean, everyone Donald Trump confronts, especially if they're not wearing a full PPE, they need to go into quarantine. This guy's an active COVID patient and he's got to run the country. The terrifying thing is, do you think that maybe no one's taking advantage of this because they're concerned? I'm talking about foreign hostile countries.
Uh-huh.
Do you think they're not taking advantage of this because they're unsure how Trump will react? Do you think maybe that's keeping them at bay?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think right now they're probably in the intelligence gathering phase, as we all are.
Yeah.
Where we and Russia and China are all trying to figure out what the hell's going on here.
Yeah.
And we really don't know. And from all appearances, from the kind of everything but the kitchen sink treatment that he got at Walter Reed and is still getting in the White House hospital. He's not back at work. He's in the White House hospital. He's been moved from one medical facility to another. Let's not kid ourselves. But this kitchen sink approach of throwing all these different treatments that have never been tried together before.
Yeah.
So Lord knows how they interact or what that causes. So we just need information. And so, I guess, fortunately, do Russia and China before I think they know what course of action to take. But this latest breaking news that came in at the top of your show about the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the other top Pentagon leaders going into quarantine, this doesn't help.
No.
This does not help.
No, not at all. And especially when you're talking about the Joint Chiefs, because at the very least, if Donald Trump is, or whoever the president might be, is somehow indisposed or incapacitated, it's at least comforting to know they're the Joint Chiefs in the Situation Room who can make national security decisions.
Well,
I mean, they may not be the right ones, but they're at least happening.
Let us remove that comfort for you.
By the way, just a little tag on the drug topic.
You know where we can score some DEXA?
Please bring it on.
Okay.
Regeneron, the company that developed the experimental antibody cocktail used to treat Trump, uses human embryonic stem cells in their research.
Yeah.
Amy Coney Barrett thinks life begins at fertilization. His Donald Trump Supreme Court pick is at odds with the company providing his treatment. So once again.
Yeah. And, you know, friends, while you're out there tweeting or posting on Facebook, spread that far and wide, because the Trumpers need to know that Trump's using dead babies to get well. That's what they would say. You and I know that's
not true. I know. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, did you know that the average American has 97 points they can add to their credit score and have no idea how to get them? ScoreMaster is the new credit science that super boosts your credit score. Forget raising your credit score a few points. That's weak. The average ScoreMaster user raises their credit score 61 points in just 20 days or less. 61 points. That's amazing. Say your credit score was in the high 500s to mid 600s when you first bought that new car. If you'd gone to ScoreMaster first and raised your credit score just the average 61 points our listeners get, you could have saved $9,000 on your car loan. And if you own a business, you know how essential great credit it is. From getting a loan to funding projects to financing equipment, go to ScoreMaster first and see how super boosting your business credit score can save you a fortune. ScoreMaster puts you in control of your finances, not the banks. Enroll in minutes and see how many plus points ScoreMaster can add to your credit score. Visit ScoreMaster.com/offer. ScoreMaster.com/offer. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
That's the great Matt Jaffe right here, is a song called Dancing with Death. Yeah.
Kind of appropriate, isn't it?
Yeah. This is from The Spirit Catches You, Matt Jaffe's latest album.
Well, you didn't tell me there was going to be rock and roll.
Link in the description at bobseska.com to support Matt Jaffe. By the way, brand new Indie Music Countdown is out now. I recorded it, posted it on Sunday. Yeah. All the songs from September we played here on the show.
Can I tell you? Yeah. I listened as soon as the show came out. I laid down and listened to the entire thing.
Wonderful. It had and more you in it this time.
Well, I noticed that, and I'm sorry. But what I observed is that despite that, the music was fantastic. I mean, what a great mix of songs this was. And I got to thinking, and I'll probably use this to promote your countdown in the future. Uh-huh. I may post it again. This is a great thing to listen to at work.
Yeah.
Whether you're working or playing, and you can listen to it. And there's not a lot of talking. You know, I even I'm mostly quiet.
Yeah.
So it's mostly just great music, and I cannot recommend this show highly enough. I love the music.
Yeah. And so what we're doing is we're bringing you the music that you don't necessarily hear about on something called I almost forgot what it's called. Radio? Is that what they still do? They still call it radio?
Do they still make those? I don't know.
I don't know. So, by the way, get that everywhere you get your podcasts. It's under the Bob Seska Show feed if you want to subscribe to the Bob Seska Show on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for doing that. You're also going to get Indie Music Countdown. Everything that we have to offer here will be all contained in that feed. Okay, so let's see. Donald Trump, Melania Trump, Hope Hicks, Bill Stepien, Kayleigh McEnany, Chris Christie, Kellyanne Conway, Carolyn Leavitt, Chad Gilmartin, Nick Luna, Ronna McDaniel again, Senator Tom Tillis, Senator Mike Lee, Senator Ron Johnson from the Ridgemont Stereo Store, Notre Dame President John Jenkins, three White House journalists, Attorney General William Barr quarantining out of caution. I'm surprised Barr doesn't have it. I mean,
and now the Joint Chiefs as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you saw that, what they're calling the Rose Garden Massacre video, where Kellyanne Conway is close talking with Bill Barr. Like, you wouldn't believe. I wouldn't be surprised if both Bill Barr and Rudy Giuliani both test positive in
Rudy, I understand, is not sounding too well.
No.
Watch that space.
Well, the other thing that we heard about, I think it was right around when we first heard the Trump diagnosis, Chris Christie was on one of the cable news networks, and he said that no one was wearing a mask during debate prep. Also, in other news, there was debate prep, apparently.
Yeah. Can I talk? There was, and can I talk about that?
Yes.
Christie had one piece of advice for Trump going into this debate.
Uh-huh.
Pay close attention to this to feel even less sympathy for Christie's illness. Chris Christie told Trump that the one thing he needed to do was interrupt frequently, because that would cause a former stutterer to have difficulties that would make him appear to be senile.
Wow.
This is the kind-hearted Chris Christie whose heart may be in danger from the coronavirus.
In fact, you know, I forecasted that on Wednesday's show. I had Rude Pundit on Wednesday right after that Tuesday debate. My God, that was only a week ago. The first presidential debate was only a week, less than a week ago by the time we recorded this.
Was there a weekend? I don't remember.
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not sure what day today is. Is it still October? I don't know. But yeah, on Wednesday's show, I said to Rude Pundit, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump was deliberately trying to trigger a Joe Biden's disability, the stutter that he's spent his life trying to overcome.
He tried. I don't think he really succeeded, but he did so persistently and without relent after getting that advice from Rudy, from Chris Christie. They're blending together now.
So let's see what else here. You know, again, I was really, really concerned about a sympathy vote coming out of this. I was deeply concerned that the American people would go, our president is sick, and we're going to give him a little bit of a boost. We're going to give him another 10 points on his approval rating. And then that's what's been keeping me on edge. That's what's been making me lose sleep, not the health of the president, which that's his problem. The fact of the matter is, I was worried about where the polls were going to go because things were looking so good coming out of that debate. And so... let's see here what we've got with regard to polling now that has dropped since the positive diagnosis. 57% of likely voters now say they support Biden for president. 41 say they support Trump. This is the CNN poll. Poll was conducted entirely after the first debate and mostly after Trump's coronavirus infection was made public.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. 52% of Americans say they have a positive impression of Biden compared with 39% who have a positive view of Trump. I guess that's the approval number. Numbers. Disturbingly, men still support Donald Trump, 49-47.
Although, look how close it is. Men, a much bigger percentage for Trump in 2016.
But still, big problem with men. Get it together, men. Get your shit together, for God's sake. Among women, Biden 66, Trump 32. Meanwhile, a Monmouth poll in Pennsylvania shows Joe Biden leading Donald Trump there in Pennsylvania, 54%-42%. Mm-hmm. By the way, with regard to the swing states, Michigan, Biden 51, Trump 43. Wisconsin, Biden 51, Trump 44. Arizona, Biden 51, Trump 45. Florida, Biden 50, Trump 46. Pennsylvania, Biden 50, Trump 46. North Carolina, Biden 49, Trump 47. That's a change poll, CNBC likely voter poll. So that's where we are. Yeah.
And I've read analyses by pollsters who say that Biden's margin is large enough now that it cannot be overcome by polling errors.
Wow.
So for those of you skeptical of the polls, and I've heard from people saying, Hillary Clinton was 14 points ahead at this time in 2016. Mm-hmm. This is such a different situation.
It really is.
It really is. And when Joe Biden is elected and inaugurated, there are so many hero groups. We're talking about the weakness of men there as being so evenly divided, really, between Trump and not.
Yeah.
That there's so many heroes, women voters. I think the biggest heroes will be older voters because they have turned more than any other group from Trump supporters to Trump detractors. Mm-hmm. So, they are to be commended for what they appear to be doing. But it's, again, so are women, so are minorities, so are younger voters. And it's the margins in each of these demographics that I think can make us feel pretty secure in a Biden victory.
Yeah, and it's a combination of both that disaster of a debate, and I'm speaking specifically for Donald Trump here. That was a nightmare for Trump, and he doesn't know it. And by the way, he's going to repeat the same next week, although it's going to be amplified by 1,000 with the...
We don't even know if there's going to be a debate.
Yeah,
he's getting way ahead of the game, and so are we if we play into that.
That's right. But the fact is that first debate negatively affected Trump. I mean, it really damaged him big time.
And it would again.
Yeah.
That's your point, I think, yeah.
And then the incompetence of how he handled his own COVID diagnosis has negatively affected him as well. So I think generally speaking, what Jim Carrey said on Saturday Night Live, that we just feel good about basking in the Trumplessness.
Did you notice it like Friday, sort of Friday into Saturday, there was at least 24 hours there, maybe longer, where it just seemed so peaceful. Yeah. It just seemed so quiet because there was no Trump and nobody at the White House was talking about Trump and everything else had come to a stop. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, is this what it's going to be like? This is wonderful.
Well, have you heard anything about the next debate? I mean, I know Kamala Harris and Mike Pence will be squaring off in a debate tomorrow, but in terms of next week, I think it's next Thursday when the next presidential debate is. In fact, October 15th is the next debate. Have you heard anything about whether they're going to call it off? I mean, already we heard from CNN. Tim Murtaugh at CNN said that Trump is planning to participate in that debate scheduled for October 15th. But we don't know if the Commission on Debates is going to actually hold that debate. It seems
that's entirely possible. That's one of two big things that could happen between now and then that would preclude the debate from even happening.
Yeah.
One is wise decision making on the part of the Presidential Commission on Debates, and in many ways, don't you think we've seen enough? Mm-hmm. And the other is Trump's own physical condition, which may very well not be up to it.
No. I mean, we're talking about within 2 weeks, give or take a day, of his positive diagnosis. That's when that debate will land. So it seems absolutely ludicrous to stick the president in a room with someone who is 4 years older than him and an entire crowd of voters asking them questions, because it is a town hall style debate. It'll be like we saw with that last debate in 2016 with Donald Trump stalking Hillary Clinton, wandering around behind her. I don't know if that's going to be the case this time, given the distancing that they'll probably impose, but we're still talking about an active COVID patient in a room with who knows how many other people, not even including the moderator. So just what a disaster in the waiting.
The answer to this is so simple, especially with the technology we have right now. But 60 years ago, when Kennedy and Nixon debated, I'm sorry, Nixon was in Los Angeles and Kennedy was in New York.
Yeah.
They debated that way. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for them to be in the same place. And now with modern technology, there's no reason for the moderator to be there either. There's a way to do this that would be safe. Again, presuming the president's going to be well enough, and I'm just not confident. Doctors say that if Trump takes a turn for the worse later this week, as expected, as typically happens in COVID patients who get ill, feel better, and then boom, they crash.
Yeah.
If that in fact happens, then Trump will be in no condition to do anything or go anywhere or talk to anybody.
I mean, maybe they're going to do it via Skype or whatever. However, like, it's not going to be Skype, obviously. That would be ridiculous.
Please, no. Yeah. Spare us. No, it isn't necessary. We've seen some incredible TV productions recently that were all done remotely. So even though it's quite different than what we're used to, they've gotten better at it. And the technology is certainly there. It would be very easy to do. Again, presuming, I'm not even willing I'm hesitant to even talk about that debate because I'm not willing to accept that it's actually going to happen.
Oh, shit. Well, I mean, the upside is that the moderator can very easily mute Donald Trump when the time comes, when necessary, if they do it that way. Hey, maybe we could recommend to the debate commission that they use the platform we use for the podcast. What could possibly go wrong?
Sometimes if you want Trump to shut up, it'll drop out eventually.
That's right. Expect 6 or 7 interruptions because of the network dropping out. So let's see. One thing I noticed too that didn't help my impression of Dr. Conley is the fact that he looked exactly like Glenn Greenwald. It was it's like, oh, holy shit.
Spooky.
Why is Glenn Greenwald a doctor suddenly? I mean, as soon as you dial in and you go, oh my God, that's Glenn Greenwald telling the press about Donald Trump's health conditions. Doesn't necessarily add to Dr. Conley's credibility and all
con
of this.
Job. Dr. Conjob. You got
exactly right. Let's see what else. Oh yeah, Donald Trump said he's immune. He's immune to the virus.
Maybe. He says, maybe I'm immune. I don't know. Well, there's the key statement.
Yeah.
I don't know. and if you don't know, then maybe you should just shut up.
I mean, he was just hospitalized and all these drugs pumped into him because he tested positive. He's clearly not immune. Why is he saying that he's immune? Did he just spend 3-4 days at Walter Reed Medical Center and not understand what's going on with him?
He said it was like going to school, only without a book.
Jesus Christ. I believe he also thinks that everyone who is infected will get that kind of treatment. We'll get all of those experimental drugs.
He is totally clueless. He absolutely thinks that. Yeah. He does not understand that that treatment and that level of treatment is not available to everyone in America, not to mention what they call the VIP syndrome. I know all about this because I've seen it played out on TV hospital shows. You get hospitals, actually, and the truth is that thousands of hospitals across the country have VIP suites so that wealthy people or famous people or influential people can be given first-class treatment. And you basically do what they tell you to do. I mean, you try to give them the best care, but you do everything they say, too, because you're hoping they will make a large donation to your hospital. And that's why these VIP suites exist in thousands of hospitals across the country. Now, add to that that syndrome that he's the president of the United States and the commander in chief of the Navy commander who is his osteopathic doctor.
Why? I mean, it's just, it's an amazing thing to see this. I mean, I've never been more confounded watching a news cycle or watching the central character in a news cycle. I mean, he is making every possible mistake. You know what he should have done? Here's what I would have advised if I was evil, if I was the satanic bizarro version of myself, I was working in the White House, I would have advised the president to play up the sympathy, to pretend he's worse off than he actually is, to extend the visit, to have him wheeled out like Eisenhower with a shawl over his,
on Trump.
A wheelchair with the shawl wrapped around him
That's
or something.
That's not Trump. You're talking about like image is and strength, you know, the perception of strength is everything to this guy.
Yeah.
Which is why he tried to pretend that he wasn't having difficulty breathing at the top of those steps.
Mm-hmm. Look, I think for him personally, it would have been impossible to do that. However, I think the takeaway from not only his red hats, who would have been just crying a fucking river of tears watching him do that, but I think also it would have brought over some of those people maybe who were already feeling a little of whatever, I don't know what you would even call it, sympathy for the devil. I don't know what else you would refer to it as, but
I heard at least one of the supporters conducting the vigil outside, the noisy vigil outside Walter Reed. When they released him, they said, in fact, it was in the drive-by, they said, Jesus has healed him. They believe the president is well. Your elected Republican lawmakers, some of them, are tweeting videos, the doctored video, remember, of Trump wrestling Vince McMahon to the floor. At one time it had a CNN head. Well, now it's a COVID head. It's Trump wrestling COVID to the floor. That's being retweeted by your elected Republican officials, along with other things claiming that Trump has defeated the coronavirus because he is so all-powerful. And, of course, the cult is absolutely in full agreement with that.
The hubris, my God, the hubris on display here, not just by Donald Trump, but by his supporters as well. They think that they can just power through and they're going to be fine. It's not about powering through.
Everybody, if you're looking for some recreational reading, I'm sorry, but read H.G. Wells' War of the World. Because that is a story about hubris and what can happen. I had to interject that because hubris is exactly what this is, Bob.
Well, one of the examples of that, a clear example of the White House's hubris in all of this is that they're not going to be doing any contact tracing from the Rose Garden massacre.
Right. Oh, why bother?
Again, why keep people safe? After all, it's going to make Donald Trump look bad. I mean, I don't know. Is it hubris or is it ego or a combination? Maybe it's a combination of those things.
And it's trying to cover up mistakes and lies. Look, it goes beyond the White House not doing any contact tracing. The White House has made it difficult for others who are attempting to do contact tracing. Initially, really very quickly, the White House released a list of people who had been invited to the Rose Garden gathering, that soiree, but they were not providing addresses and phone numbers. Well, that was of no help to contact tracers.
Yeah.
So that's been very difficult. But more than that, Bob, the White House has actually ordered the CDC not to get involved in this, told the CDC that they are no longer in charge of contact tracing. So the people who are best at it, the professionals at it, are being banned from the practice of it. And as we know, this is crucial. The Trump administration doesn't want you to know how many people it's infected with that and related events.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the White House has blocked the FDA from using its vaccine guidelines as they
knew that was coming.
As they push through some sort of shoddy snake oil that Donald Trump is desperate to see before the election. But I mean, again, another obnoxiously irresponsible, obnoxiously reckless decision by the Trump White House. And given the fact that he's actually got it now, I mean, you know, everyone was thinking, oh, maybe this is his Ebenezer Scrooge moment. Maybe he's going to wake up a different man and he's going to take the virus seriously. No goddamn way. What a farce that was.
I can already hear the public service announcements. We know the first vaccine didn't work and killed many people.
Yeah.
Trust us.
Right.
Vaccine 2.0 is the answer.
That's right.
Yeah. That, people will buy right into that, don't you think?
Suckers, 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 suckers.
Oh, and dangerous suckers.
Yeah.
This kind of screw up, and you can see it coming up 94, this kind of screw up is exactly what makes people not believe. And so this only compounds a problem we already had.
That's right. Well, now that we've said goodbye to summer, it's time for things to get back into our everyday autumn groove, right? The leaves are falling to their deaths all around us, screaming. If you listen carefully, you can listen to the leaves screaming as they die and fall to their deaths. With so much changing around us, it's increasingly difficult to find that extra time for you, the time you need to take care of yourself and to look your best. With Plexiderm, all you need is 10 minutes and you can look 10 years younger. It's true. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes. Visibly reduce wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in just a matter of minutes. Plexiderm even works on laugh lines too. Number 11s and crow's feet. Take up to 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. The results will last for hours, so you can take the family out apple picking and look your best the whole damn time. Even better, Plexiderm doesn't involve any visits to a surgeon and costs less than a round of pumpkin spice lattes for you and your pals. You can try a 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit triplexiderm.com or call 1-800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit triplexiderm.com or call 1-800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES at checkout. Thank you.
Bob Seska.
Start you can give your youngster.
From our nation's capital, as I like to say, from Washington, D.C., this is Betamax D.C., and a track called Proud of Dumb. And when you get a chance to listen to the lyrics for this one, you'll know exactly what it's talking about. And if you think you might know already, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's exactly what you think it's about. It's all the dumbness. It's the idiocracy around us. The album is called Greatest, by the way, with a number 8 in there. So, you know, I've been looking at this whole COVID pandemic story as having a lot of overlap with the story of Chernobyl, the nuclear disaster in the former Soviet Union. Yeah. And I've come to the conclusion that Donald Trump is now the exploded nuclear reactor. We talked a lot about, well, Donald Trump is like the Soviet officials who try to whitewash it and cover it up.
No, so, he's the reactor itself.
He's the reactor. Yeah. Exactly right. I've been saying it for so long now, and it just finally occurred to me, you know, just like watching Trump news come down on Twitter all day is kind of like standing on the roof and looking down into the on fire number 4 yes. reactor at Chernobyl,
yes,
just
is.
Like the
yes.
Craig Mazin miniseries for HBO. It's just like that. And one of the reasons I went down this road with Chernobyl, wrote all about it for Salon today.
Oh, good, good.
One of the reasons I went down this road is because as I was watching the Rose Garden massacre, I kept thinking about the video that we saw in the miniseries, the scenes in the miniseries with those emergency workers,
right.
Either picking up those fuel rods rods or the picking up those bricks of graphite are badly irradiated or up on the roof, watching the soldiers, the Soviet soldiers up on the roof, disposing of the debris and the graphite up there.
That's what you and I do with Trump stories.
Exactly. Or those three guys. One of the creepiest moments in that miniseries is when those three emergency workers are sent down into the underground tunnels below the reactor in waist-deep radiated water to shut off, I guess it's to turn on the water valve or something or another. And watching that was kind of like watching the Rose Garden Massacre, only to realize then that those rescue workers at Chernobyl were being heroic. I mean, they were doing the right. Yeah, they were doing the right thing. They were risking their lives for the greater good. Donald Trump and all of his fucking henchmen are actually not doing that. They're making it worse. And that's what led me to believe that they are the reactor core. And for some reason, Donald Trump thinks that's going to help him in the election. I don't even know.
I don't know what it's a combination of ignorance and wanting to own the libs. I don't know why they're doing what they're doing, but they're not letting go of it. They're not wising up and they're not changing their ways.
Yeah. And by the way, just let's work this in here at the end before we wrap up, because it's important to get other news in here. But Eric Trump was finally deposed under oath as part of New York's investigation of the Trump Organization's financial dealings. One of the first steps toward shutting down Trump's family business, and thank God for it. Letitia James is probing whether Trump's real estate company falsely reported property values in order to obtain loans or tax benefits. It's the thing that Michael Cohen described in his congressional testimony, where for the purposes of getting loans, you inflate your assets. For the purposes of paying taxes, you deflate your assets. Right. And it's in both cases, you're talking about lying on official documents, perjuring yourself or whatever the thing is that you do.
Bottom line. Yeah,
exactly. And I can only imagine, my guess is Eric Trump played the junior and Trump senior gambit, which is to say, I don't recall.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember that.
He said it just like that. When we get the tapes, that's what you'll hear.
Yeah, which is basically my David Letterman dumb guy voice is what Eric Trump said.
Always works.
Got any gum? let's see what else. You know what? Coming up on the postmortem show, we're going to talk about Melania Trump and those Melania Trump tapes, which are just plain entertaining.
She's a lovely, lovely woman, isn't she?
Yeah, she's got a brand new one out in which she's talking about Stormy Daniels. And she calls Stormy Daniels something funny.
Oh, I can't wait.
We'll talk about that at the postmortem show coming up on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show, or for your convenience, all you got to do is type in BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it, why don't you too? You can get the Indie Music Countdown over there, but if you sign up at $5 a month, you can get two postmortem shows every week for your membership, for your patronage. Plus, you get to participate in all the comments. You get to participate in the community tab where you can post your own blog entries and so on. You get to be part of the action. You get to be part of the community over there. Plus, it's much easier to communicate with me through the Patreon page than on social media. So bear that in mind, too. If you sign up at $10 a month, you get all that stuff. Plus, the Friday after party with me and Kimberly Johnson talking about sex, drugs, rock and roll, and politics, and a lot more. Meanwhile, Buzz Burbank News and Comment every Thursday. I assume this Thursday it's going to be 12 hours of nonstop news.
I don't have time for a birthday. Forget about it. I'm busy.
Right. See, for God's sake, you live in a beautiful part of the world. You better take some time off tomorrow. I'm going to have to.
Oh, not tomorrow.
I was almost going to say I'm going to have to drive down there and slap you silly, but I can't go anywhere because of this goddamn pandemic. Okay. That's at BuzzBurbank.com, also RealmNetwork.com, everywhere you get your podcasts. Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Yeah.
Thank you. So now, if I want to hear Melania talk about Stormy, I need to become a Patreon member.
Yes.
Does that make Patreon a pimp?
Yeah. No, that makes me the pimp. If Donald Trump is the Chernobyl reactor core, then I'm a pimp. Always pimping my Patreon. That's not meant as a double entendre. No, I'm sorry. Pimping your Patreon is not. Oh, shut up. Shut up, guys. Sickos. All right. Meanwhile, Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, sexyliberal.com for all of your favorite Sexy Liberal Podcast Network programs. And there's a brand new Sexy Liberal virtual tour waiting for you there, too. But you have to sign up in order to watch. Go get it now, why don't you? All right, Postmortem Show coming up next. See you later, folks. Bye-bye. Now that you've said goodbye to summer, it's time for things to get back to our everyday autumn groove. Everything is flavored with pumpkin spice, of course, and before you know it, the leaves will start changing color. With so much changing around us, it's increasingly difficult to find that extra time just for you. The time you need to take care of yourself and to look your best. With Plexiderm, all you need is 10 minutes and you can look 10 years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes. Visibly reduces wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in minutes. Plexiderm even works on laugh lines too. Number 11s, whatever that is, and crow's feet. Take up to 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. And by the way, the results are going to last for hours, so you can take the family apple picking and look your best the whole damn time. Even better, Plexiderm doesn't involve any visits to a surgeon and costs less than a round of pumpkin spice lattes for you and your friends. You can try a 6-application trial for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit triplexiderm.com or call 1-800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit triplexiderm.com or call 800-685-1292 and use the code VOICES at checkout. Thank you.